it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour here, Robbie and Rex, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Broadcasting for the Bisbee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie this week, and we're very happy to bring in our next guest, Nick Baumgartner, my co-worker at The Athletic, covers football, all things NFL draft, college football, the NFL. Nick, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing all right. Great. And, of course, here in this city, Nick, we're talking a lot about that number one pick. So first,
well, I bet you are.
Yes. So let's just start there. You're in charge of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
What right now, how are you viewing those two quarterbacks, the potential trade suitors? What do you think the Titans should be looking to do?
Well, number one, you got to be looking to trade the thing. So, that's the number, for me, that would be the number one priority of, if I could do that, that's what I'm going to do. That's always tricky, though, in these cases, because, sometimes you don't want to overplay your hand and let teams know what you do or don't want to do. I mean, to me, the Titans can't take one of these quarterbacks, guys. I mean, that's just, I like Cam Ward. I like Shedeur Sanders. I don't love either one of them. I think both are, they have a chance to be something. I wouldn't, bet the farm on either. And I think the Titans they're not in position right now to take either one of those guys on and give them what they need, I think, either now or long term, quite frankly. So I think they need to find a way to maximize that asset the best they can. If they can trade it, great. That way you set yourself up to maybe get a tackle and an edge. If not, and you stick at one, I'm still looking at, like Abdul Carter or something else. If you like another edge, or if you like somebody else, Travis Hunter better, that's fine. But to me, I just don't think a quarterback at one makes the most sense for Tennessee right now.
I've written this week a little bit about the desperation level of other teams and the potential for somebody to trade up there. The Giants, have a GM trying to save his job. The Jets haven't had steady quarterbacking for 10 years. There's a consensus, it seems, about these two quarterbacks. But do you see, as is usually the case, somebody falling in love with Cam Ward and making an offer that is attractive enough for the Titans to deal out?
I tell you, it's certainly possible because, for a few reasons. Number one, I think that you said it. I think that it's certainly possible that somebody, not just Cam, it might be Shedeur too. I know there's a lot more. I think there's a lot more questions, obviously, about long term with Shedeur, but also all the other stuff around him. I think the Cam Ward story though is pretty easy to fall in love with as a guy who's just done nothing but improve. Has gotten better and better everywhere he's been. So that would not shock me. And I think that the really interesting thing here for Tennessee there is nobody really knows what Cleveland, what are they doing? Like, I don't know. Did they want a quarterback? Are they going to take a quarterback here? They want somebody else. I think that's something too that maybe teams look at and say, we don't know what they want to do. We want to jump them. If that's a thing that rises up, or if the Raiders say love one of these quarterbacks more than the other, would they be interested in getting over the Giants even? So I think that it's very possible because there's two guys up here that are first round quarterbacks that are good enough to start next season with some help and guide you along a lot like what Bo Nix did. I think at least Shedeur can do that. Cam Ward, I think long-term is the better prospect, but they both need help. And I think that's, for Tennessee right now, the best hope would be maybe if somebody falls in love, yes, and then wants to jump up there, one of those absolutely desperate teams like, Vegas or the Giants.
If you're not up to speed on these guys, just say so. There's no shame in not being up on any of these billion guys. I'm curious about the TCU receivers who seem to be such polar opposites. Jack Besh, super reliable, incredible hands. And then Savion Williams, an athletic freak. contested catch marvel, yeah. but not great production and incredible drops, right. who seems like a super boom or bust guy. Tell us about the contrast in these two guys and what people will be getting.
100%. I mean, Savion is one of those guys that I think is maybe one of the biggest flash players in the draft, in that there could be teams that have him with crazy high grades, because you said it. I mean, he's like 6'5", 220. He's built like Kelvin Johnson, you know what I mean? And he's going to test probably similarly, you know? I mean, at this point, these guys kind of do that these days. So he's going to have a freaky, you know, testing. But when you watch his tape, there's just a ton of inconsistencies there. He's still learning how to play receiver and all those things. So it's a lot like, you know, he's got the DK body, but is he going to be a little bit like, what's the kid the Texans took a couple years ago up there who was kind of raw when they got him? I can't think of his name now. Or is he going to be too raw to do anything, basically, at the end of the day? And then Beck, I actually think, is one of those stories that he reminded a lot of people of Puka when he came and did what he did at the Senior Bowl, because he had a terrific freshman season at LSU and then got lost in the sauce there, got behind Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and had to transfer and, you know, sort of got lost in everything, and then really only he had a great freshman season, a great senior season. So he bookended his kind of nothing in the middle and then went to the Senior Bowl and sort of reminded folks who he is. So I think Jack Beck is probably the more complete player, although not the, you know, flashier athlete to me. And Beck, I think it wouldn't shock me if he slips or at least is close in the range. I think he's a top 50 player, or at least somewhere close to that. He's very, very consistent and when healthy and everything else. And yeah, I liked him a lot. A big guy who can play every position, I think.
So, Nick, the Tennessee Titans, as you know, are very bad up front. And Titans mm-hmm. fans do not get excited about the idea of drafting an offensive lineman high. They've done a lot of that in recent years, and they don't have much to show for it. But I did just want to ask you about just the offensive tackle class. I think it's, as you wrote in your mock draft this week, you know, the offensive tackle class in general not as highly regarded as some years. But you do have four guys going by pick 13.
Right.
How could you just break those guys down for us? Some people talking here about, you know, J.C. Latham, who was a right tackle in college, is it ideal for him to maybe bump back over to the right side? He had an okay rookie year, ups and downs. Yeah. But it seems like a lot of these guys are more right tackle projections, correct?
Well, I think maybe sort of. But I think the beauty of these guys is some of them could go either way. I do think that you got a guy like Will Campbell who he's got some length questions. And I think a lot of people are going to want to see him maybe even inside what he can do there. But I think he could hold up at right or left tackle. I think Will Campbell's a lot like a Rashawn Slater from a few years ago when people had the similar doubts about him. He's a terrific kid, great leader. You know, he's been a starter for 3 years. He's 20 years old, whatever it is, like above his – he's one of these older soul type guys. Josh Simmons is another one too from Ohio State. I think he could play either side. I think he's athletic enough to do it. I think Simmons is athletic enough to go inside if you had to do it. Kelvin Banks and Armon Membo, the kid from Mizzou, are very similar in that, like, I don't know if any of them are what we would call like a prototype, stand him over there at left tackle and he's going to be there for 15 years. But all of those guys are guys that can start at tackle, right or left, I think, depending on what you need them to do. Or if, you know, the situation arose where you had to move them inside, you know, they could absolutely play inside. Like Kelvin Banks, some people think he's a better guard, you know, than a tackle. And I think Membo is, you know, similar. I think some people might think he's a better guard than a tackle. So, but it doesn't mean that they can't do either or, I think. So it's one of those things where I think the flexibility it gives you is interesting if you have a team that's willing to look at it from that standpoint. Like Latham is a great, he's 20, what is he, 21, barely? I mean, like,
right.
You know, let him sort of learn and figure it out. Maybe we don't know what his best position is yet. You know what I'm saying? I think these guys right here in this class would fit well with a player like that. Not at one. I think you want to trade down if you can do it. But I think these guys in this class, because of the flexibility maybe that would give you long term.
On the edge, Michael Williams from Georgia, Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. If the Titans traded down, these guys could be in play. They've sure got the look and the bodies. But how far away are they as in terms of refining their mm-hmm. pass rush game and being early impact guys?
Yeah, I think Stewart's closer than Williams is. Stewart had he looked really good in Mobile, looked really good down the stretch there. You know, he's legit 6'6", 290, whatever that is, 285, 290, somewhere in there. And he can play, you know, pretty much anywhere up front, you know. And I think that, and Mykal Williams is a similar, you know, conversation. But Shamar Stewart, I think, is, you know, he's thicker, he's stronger. You know, he's got better play strength right now. He's, everything with him is more consistent. Whereas Mykal Williams, that guy, I mean, his traits are off the chart. His traits, he is a Trayvon Walker Jr., but even more raw. So he's barely played. It's been, you know, when he has been in, the flashes have been, you know, elite. We say 6'5", 270, with, like, you know, his wingspan is pretty crazy. You know, in the summer, guys, some people had Mykal Williams up like number one or two in the draft. So he obviously didn't, you know, pan that out during the season. So he's a guy that it could be a huge, huge reward, or it could be like, well, what are we doing here? You know, 2 years in. That's Mykal Williams right now, I think, for a lot of people.
And Mike Green had his moment at the Senior Bowl. What are the concerns for a small school pass rusher coming out of Marshall?
Yeah, he's really only had the 1 year as a big impact edge. And, you know, he's a guy that was much lighter a couple years ago. I wonder if he's not 250. I think he's in the 240s, and I almost wonder if he's topped out in the 240s there, even though he is young. So the questions there would be is, you know, is the speed and everything else that he has, the raw, you know, juice, is that going to work as well as it did at a small level, you know, against NFL tackles? I don't know if we've seen, you know, enough moveset from him quite yet to have him as high as some people might have him. But, like, the raw, everything else there is the stuff you could work with him. And I think that people see a little bit of the Micah Parsons ability to move him around. You could stand him up. He's still kind of a ball of clay a little bit. I think that he's got a lot of that body twitch all over that nobody knows really yet what he's going to be, I think, is the big appeal with him.
Talking to Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Last thing, Nick, it looks that, like, you agree with me. I've been saying this. I think Travis Hunter could be a great receiver, but I think Travis Hunter could be like one of the greats as a corner. Yeah. You agree with this, that he should be a cornerback in the NFL?
Yes, I think Travis Hunter would be, you know, a legendary type, you know. He reminds me of Charles Woodson, and he did more than Charles Woodson in college. I don't know what else to say. Like, it took a long time for me to get there on that one, but, like, he reminds me of Charles Woodson. And as a corner, I think that's what he would be able to bulk up. He'd be able to settle at that position, and I think we haven't even seen the best of him at corner. And I think Travis could also, guys, I think he could still – add more at receiver than, like, Charles did throughout his career. I think he'd be more willing and able. I think today's game would be more open to that. So that's what he reminds me of is Woodson. And, you know, I think that it would be crazy not to at least explore full-time corner for him. Yeah.
Yeah, I would sign up for that. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Hey, thanks so much for coming on, Nick. Really appreciate it, man.
You bet, guys. Anytime.
All right, Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Great stuff there. We'll react to it. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nashville's best deal this week. 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road. And PK, good stuff there from Nick Baumgartner. I will tell you, Nick Baumgartner co-wrote a book that largely is about Charles Woodson and the 1997 Michigan Wolverine. So when he says that Travis Hunter reminds him of Charles Woodson, I take that very seriously. The physicality is a difference, an obvious one that stands out. But, I mean, Charles Woodson is, to me, I don't know, you tell me, second best corner I've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, I'd say Deion Sanders is the best.
Terrific.
But you're talking about two guys who just take away half the field. Like, that's how good they were for years in this league. And we value quarterback and pass rush and pass protection. There's a lot of value in a corner of that quality. That does a lot for you.
It's funny because I feel like in this market, Hunter right now is viewed very much as a consolation prize because people really have their hearts set. I think the consensus is on Abdul Carter.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, that's who – you know, that's who Nick had the Titans taking at one.
And I think, too, I mean, the Titans played pretty well in the secondary last year. I'm not saying that means you don't take a Hunter if he's there. But the thing is, the Titans' biggest problem right now and for some time has been pass rush with four. Now, they had a good pass rush with four, you know, the last time they were good, which isn't that long ago. But when they're not good, they don't rush the passer well. And you could say, well, Hunter helps them hold things up. Building back to front is a very backwards method, you know. And I'm not saying that if you draft Hunter at one or at three after a trade down, that's not healthy for you and you can't get a great edge in the second round or, you know, stumble into one in the fourth round who's going to help you get really good up front. But it's backwards in terms of how you're spending your resources.
Yeah. I mean, look, to me, that if it were to come down to that and you're out on the quarterbacks, either you sign a veteran, you know, whatever, you're just out on them. You're not doing it. Which, again, there's just another voice right there. And I've known Nick a long time. I respect him a lot. There's a chorus of voices. So you're like, yeah, these quarterbacks are – I mean, they could be good. I wouldn't do it. But they could be good. Like, it's just enough of that, and you're just like, I mean, I'm kind of like, I've already said, I just wouldn't do it with either of them.
But in Cleveland, and in New York, hopefully, for the Titans' sake, somebody's saying, yeah, we can turn this guy into
– And again
– this guy can lead us out of this hole.
Yeah, and again, like
– he could be the face of our franchise.
5 years from now, if we're sitting here talking about, my God, all these teams that didn't realize Cam Ward was going to be great, how could you not see it? Look at the – from Incarnate Word to the – you know, that could happen. It could absolutely happen.
Absolutely.
But if the Titans are in that spot and it's basically one of those two guys, man, obviously the question is just, is Abdul Carter that guy? Is he – he's going to be a good player in the NFL. I have little doubt about that. But is he that? Because I will say that I'm more, and this is probably just from watching him a little more, but I just think he's more exceptional. I have more conviction on Hunter being great at that position relative to others at that position in the league than I do Carter. You know, I'm with you. I think edge is more important, and front to back, all I'm with you on everything you're saying, but I have a little more certainty in my belief that Hunter is, I mean, he's going to come in this league and he's going to be one of those guys that just you don't throw that way. I really think he's that good.
If you have one of them and they are terrific, that would offset a little bit if Cam Ward is very good. You could at least say, well, we got a stud player at our position with our doubts on Ward. You're not going to get over misjudging Ward. You're not going to get any passes on that. Now, you raise an interesting thing, though. What if you take Carter, and he's a very good pass rusher, but Travis Hunter is a Hall of Famer? Or vice versa, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't care. I just don't care that, like, the Titans – I mean, look, I just went through this thing. I still dabble a little bit, you know, with some little draft stuff for The Athletic. And I was thinking about this because it was, like, basically the Titans' biggest need, you know. And I was like, well, quarterback. But I was like, there are two positions on this team, so that I wrote, like, that where, like, you feel okay, which is corner and running back.
Yeah.
That's it. But even that at corner, I mean, look, the Snead, Nwuzi, I don't know how long that's going to last.
It's not long term.
The long term hope would be that Brownlee keeps coming, and then if you have Hunter, then there you go. You've got maybe
Brownlee,
two outside.
Brownlee, Hunter, McCreary.
Yeah,
McCreary. I could see as a long term.
Yeah.
Nickel.
But like, I don't care that they right now are more stocked at corner than other. Like, if he's that good, it means nothing to me. That means nothing. It's a long term play. I mean, you're. You know, are you going to have one of the great corners? Who's the greatest corner in Titans history? And what did he mean? You just talked to him on the phone. And how much did he contribute to winning?
A lot.
I mean, you just don't get guys like that often.
Quick aside on Samari Roll. I stumbled into this researching Eric Allen for the Hall of Fame. And you could say what you will about the metric. Approximate value at Pro Football Reference is a number they put on a guy for his value in the season. You can look at the formula and everything.
Yeah.
The best approximate value season in Titans/Oilers history. Samari Roll in the year 2000. One of the 39 best seasons in NFL history.
Well, and what was the number?
22. 22 is the number, the approximate value number. The number doesn't mean.
I thought you were. It was like a value, like a dollar value.
Yeah, no.
It's just the. No.
Yeah.
Well,
so I talked to him about it.
Is that
he
the best Titans team you've ever covered? By the way, the 2000 team that should have won it all.
Yes.
Yeah, they were the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, And I asked them, you know, and they talked to me about it. It was cool. I said, you know, how does it outrank Derrick Henry's 2,000-yard season? How does it outrank Chris Johnson's 2,000-yard season? How does it outrank Steve McNair's MVP season? I said, it was, you know, a great all-time defense. There were a lot of points to be spread around. Out of the four seasons that show up on their all-time list, Randall Godfrey in 2000 is one of the other seasons that's on the list from that 2,000-yard season. Check it out at paulkowarski.com.
Was Bullock a rookie that year?
Bullock was a rookie in, 2000.
Yeah, so, you know, then you got Curse in his
second. So he didn't really play.
Curse in his second year. Yeah.
Yeah, Curse. Samari was surprised it wasn't Curse, but I told him the other two seasons were defensive. He guessed Curse first, and when he missed, he then guessed the other two immediately, Godfrey and Courtland Finnegan.
Interesting. All right, we come back. Well, we got some concerns about Hunter, but I do also want to get into the position we talked about with Nick Baumgartner that I know some Titans fans really don't want to see their team draft high, but you got to consider it. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 the game. But I think Travis Hunter could be like one of the greats as a corner. Yep. You agree with this, that he should be a cornerback in the NFL?
Yes, I completely. I think Travis Hunter would be a legendary type. You know, he reminds me of Charles Woodson, and he did more than Charles Woodson in college. I don't know what else to say. Like, it took a long time for me to get there on that one, but like, he reminds me of Charles Woodson. And as a corner, I think that's what he would be able to bulk up. He'd be able to settle at that position. And I think we haven't even seen the best of him at corner. And I think Travis could also, guys, I think he could still add more receiver than like Charles did throughout his career. I think he'd be more willing and able. I think today's game would be more open to that. So that's what he reminds me of is Woodson. And, you know, I think that it would be crazy not to at least explore full-time corner for him. Yeah.
That was Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic talking about Travis Hunter. Great interview. And it's always great to have people confirm your opinions, you know, like that. I need people to validate my opinion. So,
I mean, that opinion's pretty popular. You're making it like that's a revolution.
I feel like it's a pretty good debate,
though.
There's
nobody out there pushing him as a receiver strongly. Nobody.
Are you sure about that?
I haven't come across anybody saying that Travis Hunter is an NFL receiver first.
I swear I just read somebody, Breer or somebody, who made that claim. But I suppose you're right. More people are on the corner bandwagon than
far
receiver.
More.
Yeah, well, but still, I mean, there's also still like the – yeah, look, there's the concern I've heard from people, and I get it. Like, yeah, he's – like a lot of the appeal – of Travis Hunter is because he played every snap. He's this Iron Man. He won the Heisman. It's incredible to see someone in college football play at that level at both positions. But is that inflating his value, right? Like, is that serving to inflate what he is? Because ultimately he has to be great at one or the other in the league, I believe.
I think he's going to be a terrific corner who can – play some snaps on offense and give an offense a jolt. But I think he may take some time. You mentioned I talked to Samari Roll this week, and he likes him a lot, though he rates Abdul Carter as the best player in the draft, not Travis Hunter. And he said he will get good at man-to-man coverage, but he's not good at man-to-man coverage yet. And the reason he's not good at man-to-man coverage yet is because he didn't have time to focus on it because he was spread so thin by playing on both sides of the ball. And so they played a lot of zone. He's terrific at zone. But to get good at man-to-man, he's going to need to work at man-to-man. So he wouldn't play him hardly at receiver except gimmicky. And we would let him focus on corner, working a lot on man-to-man.
Yeah. Mike from PA says, Hunter being very vocal about playing two ways is concerning. He's good, but will he be a headache if you don't let him play both?
Well, he doesn't get to choose.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a problem. You know, you get into the league, get paid, and you know, you're gonna do the job.
Ass.
And look, once he, once Travis Hunter gets in the league, because he is gonna have to bulk up, you play press man coverage, you're gonna have to be more physical. And once he gets in the league and sees what he's dealing with and who he has to cover, I don't think he's going to be too hung up on, I need more offensive plays in this. I mean, I think it would be, you know, he's a guy that, like you said, gadgety, weave him in, and maybe at some point he can be more of a two-way player than we've seen in this era, maybe.
And these teams are going to talk to him starting at the end of the month in Indianapolis, and they're going to say, hey, here's what we envision for you. What do you think?
Yeah, and also, you're going to get drafted, so even no matter what you think, like whatever that team thinks of you is like probably what's going
to
happen.
But if he's an ass in these meetings and he says, I absolutely have to play wide receiver, it's going to hurt him.
Yeah, and I have a hard time buying that. You know.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, he's out there right now. Of course he wants to play both. Hey, I don't blame him. I mean, the guy, it is amazing what he did. I understand it's college football and it's not the NFL, but it is the power conference. There's a lot of guys he went against on both sides of the ball who are also going to be in the NFL, and it's remarkable what he did. And he's going to step on an NFL field, and he is instantly going to be one of the best athletes on, even in the NFL, on the field. That's what he is. So
I mean, you're very, very high on him. Do you take him over Abdul Carter?
I don't know. Because if you tell me that Abdul Carter is that guy, like the elite guy.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm asking.
Yeah, I know. Based on the information I have right now, and honestly, it's like.
Not that much information.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've watched them both. Yeah, read about them, and I've watched them both play. I think Abdul Carter is really good. I don't know that he's going to be this 12 to 15 sack. Just write it in stone for 10 years. You know, I just don't know that he's that guy. And to me, he has to be that level of player.
So you're leaning Hunter.
I guess I'm leaning Hunter. I'm talking myself into today, but honestly, I've sort of – it's tough. That's a tough one. I mean, it's good to have this problem. Like, are both of these guys going to be all-time great players? I don't know. I mean, if that's the case, then you can't go wrong. But it may be just one of them. And if you make me, like – put money down, put your bet in right now on which one of those two is going to be, when that player is done, we're all going to be like, oh yeah, that's a lock Hall of Famer. I'm leaning Hunter. And I totally understand the added value or the difference in value between having a blot the sun out pass rusher in this league. You know, it's probably the second. It's probably the number two thing you want after having the great quarterback. Caleb says, "I think the early returns on Hunter are not going to be great. He's going to get beat a lot at corner. That would be more noticeable than not being great at wide receiver. But I agree, an elite at corner is more important." Yeah, look, I probably feel more strongly about this than anything about this discussion. Is that I don't think he's some superstar receiver. I just really don't. I think he's a guy who could definitely go make plays for you and be a good receiver. But I don't think he's one of those huge difference-making receivers in this league. And I'd love to know, Paul, maybe it's no one, but how many teams in this league, as they've gone through him, have him receiver then corner? You think anyone?
I think zero.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really tough question.
Now, I think Teron Davenport – has said like he sees him as a receiver here. I don't want to put words in Teron's mouth, but in conversations that we've had, he thinks, you know, he'd be the best receiver on this team, or a great receiver on this team considering what it has. You know, maybe kind of saying like with the corner group they have right now, you could play him at receiver at least at the beginning. And let things sift out. I don't know. He likes him as a receiver. I'm not saying he likes him. Doesn't like him as a corner.
So there's someone.
But you asked me about teams.
Yeah. But even in the analyst world, there's some people who think receiver, I believe. Now I need to go. Now I'm gonna find some people.
We'll talk to TD later this week. Yes. So we'll see his.
Well, I think there are a few. But yeah, you're right. There's definitely more sentiment for corner. A texter asked, "Would you trade the number one overall pick for Myles Garrett?" My answer is a quick no.
Absolutely yes.
You absolutely would?
Myles Garrett?
I would not trade him for Myles Garrett. Just because
I think Myles Garrett's going to cost more. I mean, I understand the first pick in the draft has enormous value, and you know, that might have been a little quick because I want more, But Myles Garrett, man.
He's a great player. I mean,
he may be the best defensive player in the league. He changes your team immediately.
He does. But your team needs so much more than that. Trade the first pick. I would rather trade the first pick and get multiple picks and build more guys. And you're paying
thing
him.
About those multiple picks are you're counting on those multiple picks to be good. Myles Garrett is great.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
Okay, so you're a quick yes. I'm a quick no.
I'm a little more hesitant after I consider it, but Myles Garrett gives you sacks, constant production, and unquestioned leadership.
Yeah, I just get worried about a guy who's been in the league since 2017. Where is the cliff? When is that coming? And is he in a window of greatness when you get yourself together still?
I don't.
But that's got to be part of the discussion, right? I mean, how is that not part of the discussion?
A lot of that, like when your window hits. Myles Garrett is 29.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's about to get into those 30s.
Is 30 a death knell for a pass rusher?
How many great pass rushers in the 30s do you know of? I don't think there are too many.
Khalil Mack, Bosa, yeah. Bosa.
But the Bosas are also like constantly hurt now, you know, and they're younger than Garrett. I mean, it can happen, but I just like you get him, you pay him. That's a great building block. I don't think his best football's in front of him. I think his best football has been happening right now, and that's where my hesitation comes in. It's an interesting question. The thing with Myles Garrett is he's gonna be a Cleveland Brown next year.
Yeah, I agree. He's not going anywhere.
All right, we still have not gotten the offensive lineman. We really will, and Bill Callahan before this show's over. But coming up next on Ryburn Rex Road, we're gonna rant.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We appreciate the American Red Cross for tuning in today on the program.
Go Did you just blood. Say you give them baby blood?
What, my blood saves
babies. Babies.
Oh, okay.
Saves babies.
I give them baby blood, what?
Yeah, what are you doing? I save babies, what do you do?
This is for Shikarski today.
Shh. No one cares.
That's right.
No one cares.
And I'm apologizing for just, I guess, again, not just saying someone should be fired in year one, which, again, if you're Jared and you do that all the time, there's sunlight, there's a dog's ass, it hits it sometimes. Well, there you go. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. And welcome to a rant from Paul Kuharski today. Since you don't like my rants.
Yes. I'm here to provide a service for the people. Is there a more delusion? I mean, first off, the Dallas Cowboys have to just be so grateful for the Dallas Mavericks being so stupid that the Luka trade has taken so much attention and so much venom of the greater Dallas metropolitan area. The Dallas Cowboys are the most delusional franchise in all of professional sports, I dare say. Okay? They had a terrible season. They just watched the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl. They just watched the Washington Commanders go to the NFC Championship game. And three key players on their team very recently have said alarmingly stupid stuff about their proximity to the Super Bowl. Jerry Jones said it's shocking to be at this Super Bowl without the Cowboys in it.
Mm.
The Cowboys have gone the longest period of time of any NFC team without being in the NFC Championship game. Let that set in. The longest period of time. The Arizona Cardinals have been there more recently.
The
Detroit Lions. Name the crappy NFC team that you could think of. And they've been to the NFC Championship game more recently than the Cowboys. Micah Parsons says, it's going to be amazing when we're holding that trophy next year. And Dak Prescott says, We're better. We've had the better part each and every time we've played these teams. They lost by a collective 75-13 to Philadelphia in two games last year. Now, Dak's missing these games because he's hurt. But they have no sense of reality. Jerry Jones has pumped this into them, this false thing. And all they're good at is being the Cowboys. That's what they do. They're the Cowboys. They're not interested in winning. He said last year they were all in, and they made no moves. Derrick Henry lived in Dallas. Talk about the proximity thing. I mean, he was right there to talk to, and they didn't talk to him. They hired Brian Schottenheimer to maintain continuity. You're maintaining continuity of a bad team. It's unbelievable. Yet they think they're right on the doorstep.
Well, you haven't even gotten into the Stephen Jones drought people say we're in with the air quotes. You think this is like a subjective opinion?
Yeah. Three decades without a championship is just a perceived drought.
Air quotes, drought. It's really remarkable.
I mean, there are some people who just say things. This is a big, broad national problem. They just say things and think that makes them true. And in the sports world, nobody does this more than the Dallas Cowboys, who imagine that they're good. If you put up the imagined standings, Dallas is in first place constantly. And if you play an imagined Super Bowl, they are not just in it, baby. They are accepting the trophy from Bradshaw, from Nance, from Brady, from whoever's passing that Lombardi out with all the fingerprints on it. Dallas has a huge display full of them in their facility / tourist trap, where we've read a story about how guys come out of meetings and run into tour guides guiding people through. Because we all know that's how you win a championship. Every team in the league, super secretive. A reporter can't walk down a certain hallway with nobody in it. But Dallas, they're running people for $35 for $40 right down your hallway.
I'll say this for them. Their owner does at least speak. Their owner does at least speak and take questions. Yeah, let's give them that, huh?
Well, I like owner speaking. There's a happy medium there.
there is.
He speaks too much.
Somewhere in between would probably be good. Now it really is. It's sad now. I mean, I think a lot. You know, the America's team and the people. They've always been a polarizing team, right? I mean, I know that I as a kid hated them. And I was also kind of a Washington fan, there are a lot of Cowboys fans all over the place. They're one of those teams that just attracted. I mean, your fan gatekeeping, you know, radar would just go absolutely haywire as the Cowboys fans who just randomly decided to glom onto the Cowboys. I got a brother-in-law who's in that category actually, but it is like, to me, it's almost sad now. You know, I almost feel bad for Cowboys fans because of all this crap.
Yeah, I kind of do too. But some of them buy it. Some Cowboys fans think the Cowboys are a lot better than they are. Still, Billy texts me, Rand Carthon's team is pretty high in the imaginative standings. Well, Rand Carthon was only here for 2 years. Now, the ball luck was terrible for Rand Carthon's team. But he hadn't been doing it for 30 years because he could only keep a job for two.
So this
in Jerry world, you keep a job for, how long was Jason Garrett the coach?
So it's
double-digit years?
Sure. This texture says, Jerry Jones doesn't care about winning. I've heard this a lot. He doesn't care about winning. He cares about money. As long as he's making money, he's running an entertainment business, not a football team.
That's absolutely true.
See, I don't agree with that. I think he cares about winning. I think he's just not good at, you know, making it happen.
Well, when you say you're all in last year and then you make no moves, that's not caring about winning.
Well, but it's also being delusional about what you have, right? That's certainly a problem for them.
Well, the delusion butts heads with the trying to win.
Yeah.
You got to get out of the delusion area in order to functionally have a chance to win. The only way they win is getting lucky. I mean, the only way they have a chance to win in a playoff game is good fortune.
The wild thing is, 2 years ago, going in the playoff, they had a tremendous 2023 regular season. They were one of the best teams in the league, and you know they have a home playoff game. The Packers come in and I don't think punted all night, but like it wasn't that long ago that they looked like they were a legitimate team in the NFC, right?
Right. But to them, that was a Super Bowl winning season.
Right. Right. But that's part of why the delusion was there was at least some evidence for the delusion, right? That in 2023 the regular season was amazing. Dak was amazing. The offense was up there among with anybody in the league, et cetera, et cetera. And now the reality is they're bad, and it's kind of funny, but I kind of feel bad for them. All right, we come back. We are going to get into the Titans and the offensive line. We keep putting it off, but it's an exciting topic we're going to get into. Robbie Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.